Hey all, it's Chad from the Puppet Parent Podcast. In this episode, Z and I will talk about our kids' learning issues at home, Z's favorite vlog, the laughing at the Polka Channel, and spiralizing. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to yet another episode of the Puppet Parent Podcast. This is my beautiful wife, Z.
Aww, this is my... She hesitated. I was trying to think of the right word. This is my handsome,
I'll take handsome
and fierce husband.
Well, fierce.
Chad.
You're fierce also. I just want to say.
Am I?
I look up to you, and you are one of my puppetry mentors.
Aw.
You showed me the ropes.
I didn't know I was going to
get... We went on the road.
Sweet talking.
We went on the road. And we went all over New York City, and we had an adventure for a good number of years.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years? 4 years?
What do you mean? Before what?
Before Leaf.
Before
our firstborn, yeah. It's you and me and you.
BC.
Hoping to get 4 shows a month in our first year.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
All of our friends at the time saying, oh my God, there's no money in schools. Libraries slashed their budgets. Arts just got cut across the board. How am I going to pay my mortgage? And now 10 years later, it's the same thing all over again. Yay, oh, nothing changes.
It's okay. Everything is okay, though.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting to perform in lots of places we normally wouldn't get to perform.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I just did a show for 1,000 people in India.
Yeah, that's awesome.
wouldn't have thought I'd be doing that anytime soon.
Remember when we went from saying our minimum a month was 4 shows a month to our absolute bare minimum was 8 shows a month? We had to get 8 shows a month, and if we got less than that, then it was a problem.
Yes.
But everything has always worked out, and we've been able to do that. I mean, things are a little... different now. Yes. You can't really count right now as being like that kind of a time where we have to count the numbers of shows to make sure that we're hitting what we need to hit. But
yeah, well, I think because before it was like we knew people had money, we just needed to get it. Now it's like pretty sure that money is out there in smaller amounts, and there's so much more. The market is so wide open.
Get it, hire us. I mean, it's the same.
You gotta get that money. No, I mean, you know,
Chad's
it's like,
more aggressive about the business side of things. I feel that way too, but not necessarily with the same words.
I gotta be handsome and fierce. Remember,
you are. but I'm more. Well, I don't know. Anyway, it's exciting. It's you know, to be continuing to perform. Like, he just got off of doing a show. That's why it's like 3:00. We're going live because like 2 minutes before this, he just said goodbye and happy birthday to a birthday mm-hmm. child. So
it was a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old on this amazing virtual streaming birthday, and it was a good time. And I've been trying something new, which I mean, you got to hear it a little bit. I wasn't listening. I was doing my work. So it was one of the first shows we ever made that we're still doing, which is our birthday show. And now that we're talking more as a country and as a society about race and gender and equality, you know, you take a look at the work that you're still performing, the work that I made, the script that I made 10 mm-hmm. years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, the only female character cries a lot in our show, and that's not a good thing. So I swapped her out. Puppets, you make them specifically for one purpose. So generally, you can't swap out characters no matter what, because they're made to be one way for one scene or something. But these characters were close enough that I could swap them, and I've been trying it. So I swapped mm-hmm. out the crying character and the sneezing character, and I switched them because both of their faces kind of have like this, you know, like flushed, kind of like mm-hmm. Expression. So I've been switching them and kind of feeling like, how does it feel? Because you can switch them on paper, you can make changes on paper, but you won't know how you feel and how you feel the audience feels until you get it in front of somebody. and then you'll know. But I feel like it takes me like 5 times. The first time I'm like, wow, this is amazing. This is so new. Oh, I'm making mistakes I'd never made before. Wow, great. And the second time I'm like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. Ooh, wow. And third time I'm like, am I blending the voices too much? Maybe. And I'm able to like analytically look at it and pick it apart a little bit more because I'm like, because I've done this 3 times differently now. I'm hoping by like number 5, it'll feel good. That's the goal, is to switch them permanently. But now I have a male character who cries.
And that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And because we have boys, young boys at home, yes. And we get some tears. And as I'm crying as this male character whose birthday was stolen, it's reminding me of one of our boys because I'm using the same kind of cadence as like what I did with the female characters, like, you know, like huge sobs, over dramatic. Yes. Now I'm doing the same kind of thing with a boy and it feels like, ooh, maybe I want to approach this differently. And it's giving me the insight of like, why was I doing that before? Doesn't feel right when I do it with a boy in that same way. So why was I doing it with the girl?
But it's funny. I don't know. I mean, puppets. So like everything should be a little over the top, a little more exaggerated and a little more funny.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's like a little therapy because when I'm crying, like way over the top crying with this boy character, I'm like, a little bit behind the scenes, like, okay, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I'm still feeling it out.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting that you're trying that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, now I have a girl character who blows her nose into her dress and sneezes really hard. And now I think about that, too. It's like now I have this gross girl who's wearing this very fancy dress.
I don't know. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. Well, we'll continue feeling it out. Hi, yeah. Swanee.
Hey, Swanee.
I'm glad that you're watching.
I hope everything is good for you, man. Every once in a while, your country makes our news, and it's, you know.
We will.
So I hope everything's all right, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're thinking about everybody right now. Yeah. I mean, we're lucky to have gotten to the other side of a very bad situation here in New York State, and we were in New York City during the most difficult parts of all of that. We were there in April, May, and June. But I would say that, you know, if you are in the midst of a difficult situation right now, there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to get better. You just have to, it's COVID crazy in South Africa. Yes, I bet. So, it has to eventually pass. And all you have to do is, all you can do is, you know, do the best you can and try to stay as safe as you can. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rowan, my buddy, says, I think it's a great direction to try to represent crying as an emotional growth rather than comedic relief. Thanks, Rowan.
Thanks. Yeah. I'll take that note.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today I was trying out, I'm trying out like every time he gets really upset, this character, he's just like, can't control his body and just like runs into the other character to try and be funny.
That sounds familiar too.
Yes, well, it does.
We've taking a lot of notes from some of the issues that we're having to deal with at home with our kids. Are your kids having a lot of issues right now? If you have children? I'm just saying that if my kids had any issues before, they are amplified, they are exacerbated, they are bigger, they are more concentrated, they are happening more frequently. And I have at least 3 sticker charts going right now for different things. And I was never a sticker chart person, but I've evolved. I've come over to the other side of the sticker chart mindset because I think that it's important for these young brains to see their progress visually, but not have it be in a classroom setting where lots of people are seeing how good or how not good they're doing. So that's the sticky part of it. I don't want lots of people seeing their failures or their successes. I want it just to be for them. So in the home, I actually am finding it to be valuable and like personal goals, and trying to have our oldest son even care about a personal goal. That is something we're working on. He's got some stuff that he's working on, a lot of stuff. We have signed him up to eventually get an evaluation. So we're going to see if he has anything going on that we can help him with more. And if he doesn't, then we just need to be doing more for him. But it's a lot. It's a lot. I'm not going to divulge too much, but I feel like it's important for me to say it out loud, because other people might relate to this. And he is going into second grade. And so it's a thing, man. Like, one day you're like, for us, one day he might have a really good day, and I think to myself, he's fine, he's a normal, regular, average kid. But then those other 6 days of the week when he didn't have a great day, it's like, oh man, I don't know what's going on. And I realize everybody's stressed right now, and none of this is normal, and blah blah blah, but it's a lot. And so at this point, I'm feeling like I want somebody else, another professional, to come in and let us know what they think. And so we're on a waiting list for a place that will let us know. And because we tried to do the DOE evaluation, but they said that it's not inhibiting his learning, that he's actually extraordinarily smart, which we knew, that he, because it's not inhibiting his learning and he's so smart, that there's nothing they could do for him. So now we're in this other process of things. And, you know, as things continue, we'll decide what we want to share and not share. But I just want to say, like, if anybody out there is having any of the same kind of struggles at all, I am there with you. And a lot of the things that were already concerns before the pandemic have just heightened, and especially because we're all living together and seeing each other 24/7, and you really get to see, oh no, he's like that all the time. Like, I thought maybe he was only like that at home, but not like at school, or if it was like at school, like, I don't know. But anyway, that's an update from the parenting side of things, is like concern about one child, and then, oh, poor second child.
Well, second child is almost like a third parent sometimes, because yes, when we're parenting our older child who has more issues, I'm very familiar with those issues. The younger child is there right with us, kind of mimicking our stances or however we are, and then he'll chime in too. He'd be like, "Yeah, no dessert either. That's right." Because you were bad.
Which is not good.
No, and we're like, no. Don't do that. That's not necessary.
You are supposed to be, if anything, you're supposed to be banding together against us because we're the parents.
No,
but I want them to feel like, you know, like they're compatriots. Like they're a team together. The kids work together. And even if it's working together to, like, sneak around mom and dad, I am a little more okay with that, because then that means that they're getting along, that they're, like, you know, planning together, they're listening to each other. But if Finn, I'm sorry Finn, if you're watching this as an adult,
oh whatever, he knows,
but if he if he is the one, like, also, like, tattling on Leaf all the time, then that's tough too, because then that bond is getting eroded, because well, I don't know. I never had brothers or sisters, so I actually really don't know.
Well, let me tell you, they're doing fine. You could still have a brother or sister who rats you out occasionally, because the younger one, who does not have the same issues, let's say, is very rational. And it's very much just like there's always one. There's always, like, the problem child and the golden boy. Right. And golden boy is like, see, mom and dad, I deserve all your praise because I did all the things right. And I'm going to point out when the problem child did anything bad. You know, it's so typical.
But I don't think that Finn is seeing it like that. He's 5 years old. I don't think he's seeing it like that. I think in some ways he's confused that his older brother, who's seven, is continuing to make so many bad choices.
Yes, and he's trying to help out.
I think he is trying to help out, but it's not, I don't know, it's not as helpful as he'd like it to be, because then it just creates a bad feeling for his older brother, too, against him.
Well, I would say yes and no.
Okay.
Because they still play. They still have a great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who's like, see, I'm the good boy, and he's said that many times. He's like, I'm not a bad boy, I'm a good boy, is very happy-go-lucky about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for that. I was roaming around. This is the same 5-year-old boy who loves wearing dresses, was like skipping through the woods like a little pixie. Today, you know, earlier, and we were just going through like him and me and the dog, and he's like la 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 la, you know, skipping through the woods, and I'm like, I never thought I would have a moment where I would think to myself, don't change, stay this way forever. But I'm having that moment right now because of the way that he is.
Well, and he did a great job doing his schoolwork today with you, which was a change, because usually you're out in the morning. But what was so interesting is that then Leaf, the older one who's seven, he has been doing a great job doing his schoolwork every single day. But today was different because you were home and Grandma and Grandpa were not home. And I think Leaf knows. He knows that you are more sympathetic to him. Because after you guys left, totally different. When you went on your
mm-hmm.
walk...
Mm-hmm.
He really stopped the fuss,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it. But when you were around, whoo, was it amped up. And I can't say that in front of him to you. Like, he's only like this when you're in the room. But I'm telling you that I really think that he sensed that things were different and was really trying to see, like, can I get out of this? Can I get out of doing this?
Can we say, or also... You know, senses things that are different,
mm-hmm.
and then that's upsetting or distracting to him.
Yes.
And he behaves differently because it's like that, like, ice pick in the back of his brain that's just like, you know, I can't focus, can't handle it.
I think that might have been part of it. But then also he is extremely smart and tries to get out of things using 7-year-old kid logic. And, you know.
Yeah, but he's a terrible liar, though. Like,
yes.
It didn't feel like to me that he was acting up. Out of, like, trying to get out. To me, it was just like, well, I guess I'm super biased because I went through the same exact thing when I was his age.
Yeah, but I would just say that if you could have like a two-way secret mirror and see how he'd been like for the last 5 days doing his schoolwork, really doing a great job and just getting through it and like not pushing back, and then, you know, for whatever reason, he's just really defiant sometimes about how he writes his letters, even though we tell him, like, and he knows, like, you're supposed to start at the top and go down. Like, anything that he can say no about just to prove that he has a way and that our way is wrong, like, he will stick with that instead of just saying, oh, yeah, and then trying it again. He's like, nope, not going to do it. Nope. And then it's like this, we're going down a path of really just, you know, pushing against each other, which is not healthy, and I get that, but woo, it was a tough one this morning. We have a lot of comments here. I just want to share a couple. Rowan, thanks. Oh, Vanessa said in Seattle, explosive, unending rage going on over here. Oh, we will make it through, V. It's tough, man, these big emotions. Rowan says a sticker chart was useful for him in second grade. It was confusing, but still helpful. And Foster, V's son, is giving us all the hearts. Hi.
Hey, Foster.
Swanee says that he'll teach our kids Afrikaans. Thanks. That would be awesome.
And right, they should teach that in class, although I don't really know if it'd be applicable that much in this country.
Well, they're learning Mandarin, and I can't help them with that so much. So I tried to learn Mandarin for about 2 months at the same time that he was learning Mandarin, and it's all gone now. All gone. At one point, I could count to 5, and I knew head, shoulders, knees, and toes. But nope.
When's the next time we're going to China? Although, you know, I will say, like, it's applicable because we live in Queens.
Yes.
you know, and there's many Chinese or Chinese immigrants or second generation.
Swanee also says that he teaches at a school with special learning needs. That's awesome. I teach teachers who work at those schools, counselors, therapists, and teachers, how to use puppets in their work. So that's so cool. So if you ever want to sit in on one of those lessons with me, Swanee, I would be happy to have you. I'm sure you got to see a lot of that when Chad was working with you in Thailand. You guys met. No, it was at Taiwan. Mm-hmm. Taiwan, and you met. But anyway, I would be happy to have you be a part of one of those sessions. Veronica says, hope all goes well, and thank you for sharing. And Rowan says, if they can have faith in each other, that's more hopeful than having faith in authority. The brothers having faith in each other.
Yesterday, they mutinied, and instead of doing their work in the morning, they just, like, tiptoed outside with their PJs on and just, like, played in the dewy grass backyard, like, all day.
Which was fine because they were playing so nicely together and it had nothing to do with any adults and they were really being kind to each other and doing such great imaginative play. So we decided, that's fine. Well, I'm home all day on Saturday. I don't leave because every other day I leave to come here to be able to do work for my day job, the Jim Henson Foundation, which, by the way, the Jim Henson Foundation, I work for them. The president is Cheryl Henson and she runs the foundation. So I do 32 hours a week for them, and I'm happy to have that job, and thank you so much for helping to support us. So that's half of our income, and then the other half of our income is Wonder Spark Puppets. So I always have to say that.
TMI, lady.
I just have to say it. Christine says, appreciate your transparency and sharing. This is all very real and important to talk about.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, you followed parent bloggers for years.
Yep. Yep. That's kind of the inspiration. One of my favorites is Fathering Autism. I really like that family. I've never commented on their stuff, so they have no idea that I exist. But I don't comment on YouTube. I don't like to invite that kind of interaction. But I'm a huge fan of their family. And what's been amazing is watching. They have a son who's neurotypical, who's now in college, and then a daughter who has autism. And I'm behind by months and months, so I don't know what's going on with them this moment. But they are full-time YouTube family. And their daughter, Abby, is a teenager now. And to have seen her progression over the last few years of being completely nonverbal and not able to communicate. Remember like a month and a half ago, I checked in on them because I'm always so behind on their videos. It's impossible for me to catch up. But every once in a while, I'll just watch something current. And to see where she's at now and how she's able to communicate through her talker or whatever they call it, touchscreen Dynavox thing, she and using sign. And she's making tones now, tones in a way that she never did before. And her parents are just so dedicated to helping her to be able to communicate in this world. And it's just amazing. And I started following them because I thought, you know what, if I'm working with counselors, therapists, teachers, and parents who are all working with kids with autism, then it would be really helpful for me to have a more like behind the scenes look at what day-to-day life is like with kids with autism and to be able to have that language like eloping when a child runs off and you don't know where they went to, they just kind of leave. That happens a lot with some autistic kids. I didn't know that term. So there's a lot of terms and vocabulary that I've learned through watching that YouTube family. So I'm not like a reality YouTube family person, but except for this one family.
What's it called again?
Fathering Autism.
Fathering Autism, because it's the dad, right?
Well, the dad started it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at the time, it was just this little part-time gig because he had a motorcycle and ATV repair shop. Mm-hmm. And then due to some complications with the zoning of the space, I think they had to shut down the shop in the midst of them starting to become quite successful on YouTube. So then they decided to take the deep dive and try to be full-time YouTubers.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy, yo.
But they've done it, and they've won the first year that they really did that deep dive and you know, tried as hard as they could. They won a Shorty Award, I'd never heard of it either. But it's I'm saying it like it's like something everyone should know. But
it's winning a Webby.
Yes.
Like 15 years ago. Oh,
yes,
we won a Webby.
They were invited to New York City to the, it's like some kind of like online content provider award ceremony. Lots of famous online people who I don't know were there. And they won in their category. And it was a very big deal for them. Yeah. And so if you guys are watching Priscilla and her husband, I can't think of his name right now, but if you guys are watching, I'm a big fan of your family and your channel. So, Priscilla and
autism.
Asa.
Well, good. I'm glad that they're making it. It's like I was just watching a streamer, one of my favorite Twitch streamers, talk about how being a streamer is not a long-term solution. It's not a career. It's like only a temporary gig, and everybody tries and tries and tries, and eventually you quit. And depending on, I think, how successful you are depends, or like how favorable the current ad revenue is like determines how soon you will quit. Like everybody quits eventually.
We always talk about language. So I wouldn't ever say quit as I would say moving on. You move on from it because it gives you, this is glass half full. Glass half full, glass half empty.
Whoa, man. Sometimes. But no, I'm very realistic when it comes to feeling like being a full-time streamer is a really hard
job.
It
is. It's super hard.
It's so hard. Not many people actually make it. Not even less make money. Even less. Like only the tiniest, the 1% make a lot of money and become like celebrities. And you can't control, like, no matter how much work you put in, like Rock Lee from Naruto, you can't crack that ceiling of the big time streamers. It has to happen naturally and virally, and you got to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
But there's no way. It's like getting struck by lightning.
But a lot of people get a lot of exposure. They learn a lot of things, and then when they feel like they're not going to do it anymore, they move on to something better.
Yeah.
You know, something that's a better fit for them. So
something maybe where they had to work a little less harder. Let's say for their dinner.
Yeah. Leo Laporte, who I listen to. Hi, Leo. You're also not listening to this podcast, but he has a podcast called This Week in Tech that I've listened to for years and years. It's very nerdy, but he is always talking about how hard streamers have to work for very little money.
Yes.
And here we are streaming.
thankfully, we have... we have no aspirations of making it big because we went through all that, you know, so back in 2006, 2007, we were really trying hard. We were full time. We weren't streamers because YouTubers weren't a thing.
It didn't really exist, the idea. And YouTube was brand new.
So everyone was scrambling to, and they didn't even, you couldn't make money on YouTube. Everybody was embedding videos on websites. And the video embedders, I think Blip.tv was like the best one for like a year in terms of getting money. We would get like $300 a pop from Verizon to get to have our videos be hosted on their streaming sites.
Vimeo.
Was it Vimeo?
I thought it was Vimeo.
No, we were definitely getting checks from Verizon, which is like the best.
VO. That's what it was called. VO.
Oh, God. It was
there
the
were so list. Many. There were so many different ones. And then who remains now is really YouTube and Vimeo. Vimeo is like the professionals, you know.
Well, I would say Twitch. Mixer just went down. Mixer just shuttered its doors. Yeah, Mixer was Microsoft's answer to Twitch.
Uh-huh.
And they got Ninja to come over, you know, like that the Fortnite streamer, to come over from Twitch to abandon ship to come on there. And a couple people made it big on Mixer. Didn't really pan out. And now they're shuttering the service.
Mm.
It's gone. They're moving people to Facebook Gaming. Who cares about that? Nobody. And all of them are going to go crying back to Twitch, trying to build up their communities again. And we did that. We did that for 2 years. But now this is just for fun. This is more just...
That was a long time ago.
We're not trying to make any money on this. We're not trying to become famous. We had none of those aspirations. This is more like It's fun for us and it's fun for you, so mm-hmm. why not?
Yeah. Well, and in some ways it's going to be a memory for us, like a time capsule for when we look back on this yes. time period of like, how are we doing back then? Like right now, if we were to be talking about the pandemic right now, I would say, I have no idea what to do. I have no idea. And I know I say that every single week, but one day I'll listen to somebody talk on the news, and I'll read something in the Times, and then I'll talk to our head of the school, this little micro school in Queens, and I'll feel like, you know what? We can do it. We can go back in September. We can start. We can let the kids have that at least. But then something will happen, like all these states are just rising, and I just feel like, why are we doing that? Why are we going back? Why are we putting ourselves at risk? Like, wait, we could just wait and it would be okay. It's okay to wait. And so it's weird. I keep having this like ongoing back and forth of like some kind of internal pressure to get back to our regular life and this other pressure of like staying safe and eliminating risk. And eliminating risk really means staying here because it feels so much safer here in so many ways.
Hey, Z.
Yeah.
You know, I just learned about yesterday. I learned that a woman on The Bachelor came out of the limo. So when you first meet The Bachelor on the show, and there's like 17 women all meet him on the same night, I heard that one of them came out of the limo dressed as a sloth in a big giant sloth bear costume. And she went up to him because he's a very conservative kind of a fellow. In terms of...
Is this a new episode?
Maybe. I've seen the costume. So this is the person. So she comes out in the sloth costume. And she's like, hey, I heard you like...
Oh, wait. I saw that.
Take things slow.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I did see that. Yes.
I thought yes. that was the greatest gimmick ever. And I'm like, please... Can more people be in full costumes?
It's a theme now because there Good. Was a shark who was trying to be a dolphin, but she was actually wearing a shark costume, but she loved dolphins. And then since then, there have been at least one who is dressed up in full
costumes. Thank you. Thank you, producers, to pressuring people to doing something silly on your show because it's hilarious.
Yeah. I have heard that there's going to be new episodes of The Bachelorette with Claire Crawley. Not that anybody who's watching this probably watches that show, but if you do, I am excited about that new episode.
So let's take things slow. There's no need to rush.
Oh, with the schools thing. Yeah. Well, I keep telling myself I don't have to really make a decision until mid-August, and really, we don't have to make a decision until the end of August about what the next few weeks will be. You know?
We've been looking up houses for sale out here, which is fun, but it's also a little bit like, ugh, because it's a reminder of all of our, so many people in our country, around the world, are like unable to pay rent, and it feels like, why am I looking at houses right now? No, this is like the worst thing in the world. No, you don't want to own right now. Why would you want to be paying? I mean, some people say it's like, you know, it's an investment or whatever, but it's like the fact that we don't own a puppet theater, like a physical puppet theater, is such a good thing right now because we're not paying anything to have that building sit empty.
Well, I don't want people to think that we don't understand like how difficult it is for the people who do own a puppet theater.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's so hard for them right now.
Yes, it is so hard. And but we are so grateful for their space outside of this time because that's where we perform. So it's not that we think that, I mean, we talk about owning a puppet theater all the time, but with the kids and where we're at in life, it just doesn't ever feel like it's the right time or the right choice for us. But we're so thankful to all the puppet theaters that are really trying to continue to make it through to the other side of this. And we're going to continue to support in any way that we can from here. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough.
So anytime I think about like, oh, you know, maybe a physical space, you know, maybe there'll be some kind of, you know, like pandemic discounts on something. But no, then I'm like immediately like, no way, because right now, not owning a physical space is actually like great and stress, like not stress free, but like a whole lot of stress.
It's a lot of things we don't have to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I always think about something that another person who owns a physical space, that's a puppet theater said to me, and she said that it's like having that space is your kid. And you're constantly having to take care of it. You have to make sure that it's okay. You can't ever leave it alone for too long. You can't go on vacations. And so once we did have the blessing of having kids, it became a thing that I just, every time it kind of came up, it felt like, no, you know what? We're not going to have a space. Other people have spaces and we'll perform in those spaces. Maybe later in life we get to have some kind of a residency space or something where we get to have people come to us and we teach them a course or something. But right now, that's not it. But it's fun to like look at houses, because out here, something is even possible. Whereas where we're from in New York City, you can't even think about it. Like, you look at it and you laugh, because you'll never, never be able to even afford the monthly mortgage ever. So out here it's like, huh, that is a very different scenario. But yes.
In New York City, it's like in our neighborhood, you pay $1 million for a crappy 1920s one bedroom apartment, you know, which is just nuts.
How much?
$1 million.
Yeah.
And way out here in Western New York, on the total opposite side of the state, it's like you can still buy a house for $200,000
or less. Yeah,
which is incredible. And I think I gotta imagine that there's a whole movement of people that houses are getting snapped up,
yes,
by young people who, you know, were trying to make it in the city or had made in the city, and they just moved out and they're like, you know what, I took a breath of fresh air. I looked at all the prices of everything around, and I think I'm not going back.
Can we talk about things that I'm really concerned about that keep me up at night?
Yay! What were we watching last night that was so fun on TV? I was laughing hard.
It was Acapulco Dreams or something.
Oh, the polka show. Yeah, we were on the polka channel.
Oh, the polka channel on Farmer. So his parents have satellite television, because they don't have the internet. So this is our entertainment at night, is finding weird channels. Not weird. If you are a fan of that channel, I'm not saying that you're weird.
It's weird. It's old-timey.
It is unique to us, channel. Whose polka show was it?
It was like
Maggie
B or something
like
that.
Something
B. This young woman who's surrounded by all these old zombies, all these mummies.
Be nice.
All these very old people that are like gasping for breath with their mouths open, like, and she's like,
they
hey,
really
everybody,
liked polka.
I'm 20 years old. Welcome to the polka channel. I'm surrounded by people that are like 100 years older than me. They're like, polka.
I would not use those terms to describe what we saw at all.
So old.
It was a lot of people who were older than the host, but they really liked polka and they were dancing. And so the fun thing was seeing all the different polka dances that people were doing, because none of them were doing the same dances. And some of them dressed up like they were wearing matching outfits with like words like polka extreme written on them. And like, and one guy and girl had like matching lederhosen.
It was funny. And seeing the different dances. I mean, what? How do you dance to polka? Who knows? But some people had it figured out. Like, some people looked like they were moving. Here, can we move, like, in sync a little bit? Like, so, yep. Mm-hmm, 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 yep. And some people are just like, hopping and bopping together. And then others are just like spinning and spinning. And I'm like, oh my God, the old people are spinning really, really fast. Watch out, old people.
It was pretty amazing. And then I accidentally dropped the remote control behind the couch, so we had to watch it for at least 15 minutes.
She did one of those moves where she's like, ho-hum, I'm just going to put the remote control on top of the couch, and
boom!
It's gone.
Yeah. That was fun. You'll have to link to that, to the Maggie Bees polka.
Something like that.
Yes, it was something like that.
I have childhood memories of going out to the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania, into the mountains, where my great uncle or somebody, great cousin.
A relative,
very old man, very sweet wife who quilted many quilts for us and our family. He built benches. You could build them in like a couple hours. It's amazing. A carpenter. He, on Friday nights at 7 o'clock, maybe it's even six, it was polka hour. And he had the tiniest little TV, and he only got three channels, just like us. And one of them had the polka network. And he would just turn it on, and it'd be live polka music, I believe, on Fridays, maybe Sundays. Maybe it was Saturdays, just like last night. And all of us are just like, what? We'd never seen anything like it before. And it was, you know, the same music. Polka music doesn't change. And the same old people jiving and bopping around to this, you know, Appalachian style. Sometimes a waltzing polka, I guess sometimes more 4/4 tempo polka. Polka, it's so interesting. It's really interesting.
It was really fun to watch last night.
I laughed really, really hard.
It was fun.
It was people watching.
Yes, that's right. And I mean, clearly it was pre-recorded because they were all crammed together in some kind of high school gym or something, dancing. So it was before the end times of now.
I could see that same crowd still doing that, though. Like, mm-hmm. Good old boys feel like they're too good for masks. I learned today that, because I've seen many people wearing this mask, this slick-looking mask, right, face mask, but they have, like, a circular vent on the side. And I just learned today that that's actually very bad.
The vent?
The vent. It doesn't prevent it doesn't prevent the particles. So if you have like that circular vent on the side, unless you have some kind of filter in there, and they say most of those don't, those masks are actually very bad.
Oh.
And even like a homemade mask is better because it just prevents big particles.
Yeah, like droplets and things like that.
So I was very surprised because I've seen people wearing, you know, like a cool black ninja mask with like the circle on the side with like little, like, it's like a prison because it has like prison bars.
You know, Leaf and I have been doing a lot of word searches. I feel like I can make a whole word search now out of just words that have come into my vocabulary since March. You know, like there's social distancing, droplet, face mask,
campfires,
6 feet.
Learn about the sun.
What?
Campfires.
Campfires. What are you talking about?
Campfires are mini explosions happening on the surface of the sun that we previously did not know existed.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about the pandemic. But, campfire, sure. Mm-hmm. Comet. There's been a comet in the sky that you can watch at night. Has anybody seen the comet? I only remember during the day. Which is not helpful.
It was cloudy that night.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, grandma was complaining. It's like, did you see the comments? No. Well, it's too cloudy to see it. Okay. Mel, have you seen the comet? No. Well, I mean, they say it's supposed to be over there, but there's all these clouds in the way. Okay.
Well, next week is going to be a good week. We've been here almost 2 months now, which is crazy. And we're so thankful to the Springville Center for the Arts for allowing us this residency. We're so thankful to Love Inc., our neighbors upstairs who do such great work with religious organizations in the area. And we're so thankful to your parents for letting us live with them and for helping us with the kids so much. And so if they ever watch this, which they can because they really don't have internet at their house, we are saying thank you to so many people.
That's right. I'm thankful. Yeah. Every time you make pizza with your pizza stone, and you make three pizzas in a row, boom, 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 and they're always really good.
Aw, that's sweet.
And my dad says it's the best pizza ever, and our kids eat the pizza crust, ladies and gentlemen. That never happened before.
I made cinnamon rolls today, like from scratch.
Serious, yo.
Yeah, and I might make zucchini soup too.
Whoa.
I know. That's a little crazy. It's got to get eaten, and I love soup, and so I'm just going to make enough for like me and your mom, because we are the people who will eat the soup.
Oh, man, we left our spiralizer at home, where we could spiralize that, you know?
It's all good.
Yeah.
Just grate it.
Another time, spiralizing, man. Mm. I like spiralizing.
I know you do.
The president of the borough of Brooklyn did a cooking show segment at Bed Bath & Beyond's where we used to perform, where he talked about the benefits of spiralizing everything. And I was like, yes, preaching to the choir here, yes. So if you don't know spiralizer, let me sell you on a little bit.
I'm just going to relax for a second. Go ahead.
A spiralizer is a machine where it's like a lathe, except you hand crank this lathe and it pushes the vegetable that you stick into the lathe one way through a blade, and it turns it into like a pasta shape.
Like noodles, you know, like long noodles.
So you could, some vegans, some vegetarians, instead of traditional pastas, you know, do this instead. And I like to spiralize a little bit of zucchini and then just put it on top of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of blends in. And you're like, great, now I'm eating this.
And Chad likes to eat it raw. I like to cook it a little bit so that it has a similar consistency to the pasta, so that it's not as crunchy.
I like that raw. I like raw onions, too. That's my jam.
I know. There's very few foods that I dislike, but raw onions, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Well, you like to caramelize them.
Yeah, that's fine. That's cooked. Different thing. Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else we should talk about anything that's happening coming up?
I think that might be it. I mean,
I'm going to be teaching a course in Springville to anybody who wants to sign up for it. That's going to start next week, I think. Yeah.
We're hoping, I mean, even if schools come back in our states, we're hoping that we can be a part of the streaming 3 days a week or one day, mm-hmm. or however it's going to blend.
Or all or remote all the time. Who knows?
Who knows? So if you're putting things out into the universe, you know, if please DOE and DCYD or however it's called.
What's that second one?
The Department of Youth and Children's Services or something like that. They're working tandem with the DOE, I just learned.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that those two organizations say it's okay for contractors to come in and stream awesome stuff for their kids during the school year so that we can stay at home and just do that. Not even have to worry about going into these places that are not going to be safe no matter what. And every time we see that, like Camp, by the way, Camp has people in its store right now. Camp is a store that that has a theater in the, it's really cool. There's this traditional gift shop up front, and then one of the cabinets opens up and you go into the store in the back, and there's like different themes every month. So there's like slides and ramps and a theater and all this amazing cool stuff store. They've now reopened, because they totally upended their model to be just streaming birthday parties and streaming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were thankfully included in that because we were doing shows for them in their theater a lot. So now I just learned that they've opened their doors and they're having people in again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it made me feel like, whoa, you know, how soon will it be before we get asked to perform in spaces like that? And how will we feel about it? Because our team, we all get together and we're all just like, everyone's like, no way, no indoor, nothing. So we'll see what happens. And of course, we're all hoping against hope, you know, for some kind of miracle, you know, vaccine. But who knows? Which country will get it first? What country will get it done first?
Will we vote out this horrible dictator? Who knows?
Wannabe dictator is what it really is.
Well.
Sending just mercenaries to Portland to disappear people. Crazy, man. Crazy.
Oh.
Just nuts.
I was listening to somebody on the news the other day on Democracy Now, which is a independent news station I like to listen to, and they had, I think, is it, I don't remember his name, so I'm not going to say it wrong. But they had a guest on, and he was saying that his concern was that he thought that Trump was going to continue to escalate things in all of these major cities around the country by sending in armed forces, federal armed forces, to the point where martial law would then be declared, and then we wouldn't have to have an election. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't. Like, we've already said that if we were out here in Springville, that we will drive back to New York City and participate in early voting just to make sure that our vote gets counted, because we never received our absentee ballots
for the primary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't even get to vote in that. And we, you know, did all the right things. Like, we sent them in way ahead of time when we were supposed to and everything, and they just never sent them.
I mean, we got confirmation, but we just never
got mail forwarding, so it just never arrived. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll drive back to the city, and at that point it's November, so we'll pick up winter stuff for the kids, and, you know, it just feels crazy. Yep, we're going to have a U-Haul to go back to the city when this is all done.
Uncle Tom said he'll help out. Maybe our parents will help, but who knows?
Uncle Tom, if you're watching, we love you so much.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Karen says she wants us to buy the old train station here in Springville.
Let me tell you, Aunt Karen, we checked into it.
It's a lot of money.
Well, not only that, it's a beautiful building.
It is beautiful.
It's old historic train station.
And we could live there too. It's zoned for residential and commercial use. It seems perfect.
But it's a historical building, and there's so much that comes with that. It's like, in terms of like
what
upkeep and
you know,
what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. And it seems like it would be a big headache. It's a good location. It has parking.
It's so cool.
Every time I think about it, I feel like owning a space right now has shown me once again that like we'll never own a space, because being flexible has just been like our way.
That's been our way for
10 years, is being flexible, going into spaces and leaving.
Well, but the thing that is circulating within the arts communities right now is hyper-local. That's what people are talking about, is that because touring is not possible, because you can't go places and see things, that this idea of refocusing back on your own very hyper-local community and bringing the art to that community in different ways, that is where the arts are headed for the short term and maybe also the long term future. And then also the vibrancy of New York City. How is the city going to rebound from this? And so that's a big concern that I have, that I think about a lot, because I care so much about New York City. I feel like it's part of who I am at this point. We've lived there for almost 15 years, and you know, it's our home. And every day I see another amazing cultural, what I think of as a cultural institution, like a restaurant or a place we used to perform, or, you know, the list goes on, close. They announce that they're closing. Or just a place that made it really fun to live there, right? Like my favorite pinball place that I didn't visit enough, but I loved, because you just pay one price and then you could play pinball for a whole hour, as much as you wanted. Closed. So, you know, the city that we will be returning to is not the city that we left.
Let's see. Lena's saying, come to Calumet?
Calumet.
Where's that?
Lots of property to buy. And there's the Keweenaw Storytelling Center.
What state is that in?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. We'll look it up, Lena.
If it's Western New York, maybe. That's where we're at right now.
I don't think it is. I feel like I would know of... I know most of the towns in Calumet. I mean, in Western New York.
Yeah.
But...
Sounds like an old Indian name.
Calumet?
Yeah. Hmm. And Keweenaw?
That does. Keweenaw. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff out here named after old Iroquois stuff that it does not exist anymore. You know, that's... You know, like all of our... Like a lot of cities, a lot of, like, even creeks.
Well, a lot of the nature and things, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's still reservations, and there's a reservation fairly close to where we are now. Which reservation is it that is close to us? Is it the Seneca Reservation?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, close to Springville was Silver Creek.
Yeah, but it's this. Which reservation is it?
I don't know.
Okay,
sorry.
Well, I think it's the Seneca that is the closest to us, but I will have to double check on that. But there's a just beyond Collins. If you drive through Collins, then there's you drive through the reservation, because I've driven through that a number of times now.
I never needed cheap gas or cigarettes. So.
No, I drive through it to get to Ohio when I go visit Jim and Judy in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Jim and Judy. Anyway, place of the crossing, it's an Ojibwa word.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Red. What state? Lena didn't say.
But, well, it looks like we're on for another week of being in Springville. We're mm-hmm. so happy to be here. And
yeah.
I hope you caught the latest Mystery Max episode about the hospital here in Springville. And next week, what do we have for a puppet show next Friday?
It's going to be Fox Fables. It's season three, we're calling it. Season three of Wonder Spark Streaming Show. So we're restarting the loop with Fox Fables. But what's really fun is every single Friday after the free live show performance, I turn on the camera again and I shoot like a post-credit scene. And I haven't done one for Fox Fables yet. And it's usually like two characters that haven't interacted, or like, you know, like what would happen next kind of a deal, or you know, like a quick gag. And I send it out to our members. And they're just a really fun to do, you know, like... I had the mouse from The Lion and the Mouse and the hare from The Tortoise and the Hare have a race. And the wolf from The Three Little Pigs, he decided not to eat the pigs, but he came back and needed a roommate. He needed a place to stay. Trying to get in.
Michigan in the northernmost part. Oh, the UP. Oh, well, Lena, let me tell you, I should have known about Calumet because my parents always used to go to Marquette, Michigan every summer for vacation. No, we didn't have family there. People always ask, did you have family there? No, they just really liked iron ore mines and copper mines and traveling around the Great Lakes. And so eventually they ended up at Marquette, Michigan in the UP. And we would go over the Mackinac Bridge every summer. And I know a lot about iron ore and copper, and mines. And it was really beautiful country up there. So how cool that you live up there. I love the UP.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I used to go to your state fair, the UP State Fair. I still have, I'm sure, somewhere in a box, some like trinkets and like a fan from the state fair and stuff. So really cool. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
Thanks.
Now you know a little more about my family vacations from when I was young.
In the mines. thanks for listening, watching live, everybody. We're broadcasting this podcast live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WonderSparkPuppets. Also, broadcasting live simultaneously on YouTube at youtube.com/NYC Puppets, or just search Wonder Spark, you'll get there. You can check out this episode and all of our previous episodes. This is episode, I think 17.
It's 17 or 18.
Yeah, one of those.
Uh-huh.
check out all those episodes over at puppetparentpodcast.com. We're on all kinds of, like, pick your poison, whatever your favorite podcast go-to app, place, market, whatever is. We're on it. If we're not, shoot us a note. We'll get on it. We use this awesome service called Anchor, anchor.fm, which is great, which I ran a podcast with my brother for 6 years, and I had to physically edit the XML file every single time. And like I had to do all this hand coding to make sure that it was done and send it on to the universe and resize our images and like host everything on our own like site and stuff like that. And Anchor just takes care of all of that and sends it out to every single one of those podcasting places for me. It's a dream. It's great. And it's free.
Yay.
It's free. We don't even pay for it, which is amazing.
Amazing.
So yeah, if you're looking into podcasting at this moment in 2020 in the summer, that's what we're using because yeesh, it was, I hated having to do all the work. I mean, mm-hmm. 6 years of weekly work. Thankfully, I don't have to deal with that anymore. Yeah. So,
well, yeah. Thank you so much for watching. If you haven't yet, please like, subscribe our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, and share. Tell people about the work that we're doing. We have a whole lineup next week of things. Mondays will be People of Power at 11 a.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 p.m. I do Puppet Building Live, so you can watch me build puppets. On Wednesdays at 11 a.m. I do a live DIY workshop for kids out of things that you find at your house. And then Fridays, we have our live puppet show that Chad will perform. Saturdays, Mystery Max episode drops every Saturday, a new episode. And then Sunday, here we are, it's Sunday. Ta-da. So we'll see you here next Sunday at 3 p.m. for the next episode of the Puppet Parent Podcast. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week. Be well.